Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Flashes, champions of the Mid-American Conference.
Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game. Berrien grabbed by Leonard. Throw to first. Unbelievable.
Chubb will take this all the way. 92 yards.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
The Indians have won the American League pennant.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I accepted it.
Gladiator. 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 Picked to fight with the gods. I'm the giant slayer. Bone shaker. Dominator. Freight train wrecking ball. I'm the gladiator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Pass the Mic Sports Talk. I'm your host, Enzo Orlando, and this episode is called Madness because all of last week was madness, not just with March Madness, but mainly in the NFL, especially with our Cleveland Browns making a whole lot of moves. And oh boy, nobody couldn't believe it, but the Browns actually got Deshaun Watson. Back on Friday, the Browns made official today on Sunday. And let me just say this, I am shocked that the Browns got it. Not because we got a great quarterback in it, but just his whole allegations, his lawsuits that he has against him for sexual harassment and assault. I think it bugs a lot of Browns fans, mainly female ones. It even bugs me a little bit. You don't know really how to react to it, but let's just go through the whole timeline of what happened on how the Browns got Deshaun Watson. So on Monday, that was the 14th, the Browns were flying down to meet with Deshaun Watson on the following day, Tuesday. They met with Watson on Tuesday, gave him their pitch. Who was down there with him was Jimmy and Dee Haslam, the owners, and general manager Andrew Berry and head coach Kevin Stefanski. They were down there. But on Tuesday night, quarterback Baker Mayfield had a post out on social media thanking the city of Cleveland and everything. He's very upset of the way the Browns kind of treated and how they ended the relationship with him. And I just want to say this about Baker Mayfield. Thank you, Baker, for everything you did for the city, being the first quarterback to actually give us hope, leading us to the playoffs, actually just leading us to our first win in 2 years back in 2018, bringing us a playoff win, bringing the city together. Haven't seen it like this, especially the Browns. Haven't seen Cleveland like this since the time we had LeBron and when the Indians were doing good in the playoffs. Yeah, brought us together, especially during COVID in 2020, where we all in the pandemic, no one really went to a lot of the games, minimal seating, but he truly did bring us together. I just want to thank you for that, Baker. I rode by you throughout the way up until the end of last season. I was being more critical of you. I was more worried about your health. I believed you were the guy. But just the way things worked out this past season, wasn't really too happy with the high expectations that we had. But thank you, Baker Mayfield. So Wednesday, the Browns fly back to Berea. Main headline was the whole Baker-Browns relationship and how it's seems like Baker said, like, the Browns are, he's divorcing himself from the Browns, and he's ready to move on. And then on Thursday, it was reported at 10 a.m. that the Cleveland Browns were no longer in discussion to sign Deshaun Watson, to trade for him, actually. But then Friday, at around 4 o'clock, Adam Schefter reported the Browns are trading for Deshaun Watson, and nobody could believe it about what happened. And now we are here. What the Browns gave up for Deshaun Watson was this year's first-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, a 2023 third-round pick, a 2024 first-round pick, and a 2024 first-round pick. What the Browns got back was Deshaun Watson and a 2024 fifth-round pick. That was a whole lot the Browns gave up for Deshaun Watson. And in my opinion, I believe Jimmy and Dee has, or mainly by mainly, I would say Jimmy. They released a statement today. I think we all want to hear more of Dee Haslam's side and how she feels about having someone accused of sexual assault at being on the quarterback, which that would be interesting. But you couldn't believe it, and I just really not know how to react. You were just kind of shocked in the amount of money we gave him, $230 million guaranteed for the next 5 years. We are uncertain if he will be the starting quarterback next season. We're thinking he'll probably be suspended for most of the season, maybe the whole season. And also, Watson hasn't played since 2020 season. But not going to lie, his stats have looked good during the first 4 years of the season. Have throwing careers, throwing about 4,823 yards. 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. That is his career stats. Completion rating of a 70.2%. And you're just kind of like, don't know how to view it. I know at the Browns end, we trashed the Steelers lot with Ben Roethlisberger and his rape accusations. But now we are getting payback by having this in our shoes. And yes, this makes the Browns playoff contenders and contenders win the AFC North, which is still one of the most hardest divisions to win in the NFL. Looks clear to me that the Bengals are going to get it. They're really trying to sign offensive linemen to protect Burrow, and the Ravens are coming back healthy. I know the Steelers signed Mitch Trubisky, but they still have a solid team with Najee Harris, Chase Claypool. And they still have that defense with TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick. It's all in the air, but it's a lot for Browns to go over. And here's my issue with Deshaun Watson. Going to the football side, mainly, I don't know what player we are going to get it with Deshaun Watson. Is he going to be the same Deshaun Watson we saw the past 4 seasons? He's 3-time Pro Bowler. I mean, 2020 was a little bit of off year. But are we going to see that same Deshaun Watson? I mean, after not playing for a year? I mean, granted, he probably was working around the CNG, but he hasn't played at an NFL pace in over a year, and it could be 2 years if he's suspended for all next season. I know the Browns got rid of Case Keenum and brought in Jacoby Brissett. Says Brissett might be the starter. You're going to be depending on your run game a lot more, which they probably would do with Brissett. I have no idea why they did not do that with Baker Mayfield at all, but that's just the Browns being the Browns. There's no other question about it. I mean, this is a move that they are really going to get criticized about. Just the player they got. A lot of females are just not happy with bringing in a sexual predator in the team. No need for that at all. What he did was unacceptable to the 22 females that accused him of it. If it's true or not, I mean, he did go to court. Was proven. It hasn't been proven guilty yet, but who knows what will happen. Who knows if Goodell is going to lay on the suspension. But this was just an all other move of, should you really be supporting the Browns? Would you support a team that brings in the guy that has 22 cases of sexual assault against them? Bottom line, the NFL is a business, and that's what the Browns did. A big business move. Haslam really wanted the Browns to get Watson, even though they're out. Andrew Berry did everything he could, and the mastermind he is of securing that by giving up majority of the Browns' future draft picks in the next 4 years. Hey, I couldn't believe that either, like giving up that much. The Browns no longer have a first-round pick in this year's draft. They gave that up in the Watson trade. But you definitely can see that Haslam was involved with it, and he just wanted to win now. They are pulling off the strings the same way Tampa Bay did to get Tom Brady, the same way the Rams did to get Matt Stafford by going all in on a quarterback and see if they can win a Super Bowl, because it worked for the past 2 teams, but will work for Browns? Who knows? It's the Cleveland Browns, and they're just known for making decisions like these, just going off these trends and everything. I mean, you can say they did the same trend with getting Freddie Kitchens a couple years ago by getting the young coach who could be the next McVay. A lot of times it bites the Browns back in the ass. Maybe this time this one will too. And these decisions that are made up in upper management, it's a lot of work and everything, but They got to do what they got to do to win. They're in a win-now mode. They've been in this win-now mode since 2019. I mean, it didn't work out with Baker, Odell, and Jarvis the past couple of years. And worked in 2020, but that was about it. 21 on was just a complete disaster of a season. It was probably worse than 2019, I would say. You made the playoffs, you're expected to go back there, and they failed big time on that. A lot of the blame went to Baker, man, because he was hurt and everything. Can't blame him. I mean, he's in surgery. He just is recovering from surgery right now. What do you expect him to do, really? And now, other news with the Browns. But last week, we got Amari Cooper in a trade. What a deal that one. That one felt a little bit more exciting. Amari Cooper's not a lot of bad things for him, but had that he's done. But and that was a huge trade for the Browns, too. They also got the Patriots defensive end, Chase Winovich, graduated from Michigan a couple of years, been with the Patriots for the past three seasons. They also got Pro Bowl returner Jakeem Grant. I mean, just a lot of big moves they've got. And they have also re-signed Anthony Walker, and they also brought back Chris Hubbard. So, I mean, they're making big moves. Also, defensive tackle Tyron Bryant. I mean, I really like that we have Amari Cooper and everything. And just thinking about Deshaun Watson's contract, they did a lot of cutting of players. And they cut Jarvis Landry. Now rumors that him, we're going to bring him back because of the Watson deal. I would personally love that, having him back as our number two receiver. He's been the big leader in that wide receiver locker room. And he would definitely probably be performing better if when Watson is at quarterback. Unlike with Baker, him they usually had a good connection. This past season, they didn't. So maybe we'll see the Jarvis Landry did was on an injury too. Hopefully we get Landry back, I really hope. Another thing I wasn't too happy about, we cut center J.C. Treader, who's also the president of the NFL Players Association. Not a big fan of that move. He is pretty much the captain of our offensive line. I mean, we still have one of the top lines in the NFL with Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, and Jedrick Willis, and Jack Coughlin, who's still with us, too, for just one more season. So that means Nick Kerr will be in, replacing J.C. Treader's spot. Just more major news. Also in the NFL, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, the best quarterback ever, is just out of retirement. He did it for a month. Was like, I'm too bored. I can't stand raising my kids. I mean, I wouldn't complain being around his wife at all, but I guess she was demanding things for him and having to do this and that. And he's like, you know what? I still have a little bit more gas in the tank. He probably was still staying in shape and everything. It's just his discipline he has. So, you know what? I'm just going to come back, play, get my next ring that I love. We'll be going for his eighth Super Bowl ring. And he's now back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They brought back Chris Godwin, who was a free agent receiver. And now we decided to re-sign with the Bucs because Brady's coming back. They're waiting on Rob Gronkowski to see if he will be returning. I believe he will. And I was not too shocked about it. I think I kind of knew. I knew I was a little bit disappointed when Brady announced he was retiring. And now he does this. He's kind of like, yeah, I can still play in another season or two at the age of 45, 46. He's almost in his late 50s. He's in his mid-40s. I'm thinking too ahead of myself. I'm thinking that Tom Brady is like 10 years older than he is now. I mean, who knows? He could be playing in his 50s. That's something that's very hard to do, playing that long. He'll be in the league for over 20 years now, too. Wow. But, yeah, that just shows, like, you know, Tampa Bay is probably going to be at the top of the NFC South again. The Saints are looking to re-sign Jameis Winston, so the Saints could be good if Winston's healthy for the full season. And then also the Packers brought back Aaron Rodgers on a $200 million 4-year deal, all guaranteed. And they franchise tag Davante Adams, but what do the Packers do? Do they keep their best receiver who has the best chemistry with Aaron Rodgers? No, they do not. They decide to trade him over to the Las Vegas Raiders. He was franchise tagged, and I think they couldn't work out a deal, and Davante Adams decided to just go with the Raiders instead. And when the Raiders could be good, I mean, they still got Derek Carr, they're looking to re-sign him. I mean, they made the playoffs last year with the crazy season they had. And now he's with the Raiders. Just a crazy week in NFL free agency it was. Lots going on. It's just been confusing. But then we also got to get into March Madness, too. I'll be getting into that a little later from now. And that's just been mad. A lot of upsets and everything. Also, Chiefs signed former Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. I wish Mahomes best luck with that. I mean, that would be good. Adding in another weapon with Tyreek Hill. That would be good. Then also former NFL analyst John Clayton passed away on Friday. He did a great job, was with ESPN for a long time, was laid off in 2017 due to that big layoff they were doing in with that ESPN or Disney was doing. He was only 67 years old. Rest in peace, John Clayton. I always remember you watching you on SportsCenter often, breaking down the news and NFL free agency, the draft, and during the season. One of the best. And looking through that, a lot of interesting takes just from the Cleveland media and everything on the way they're viewing this. Deshaun Watson, I heard the Cleveland Rape Center got a whole lot of donation money from a lot of people just when Deshaun Watson, like, hey, supporting them, who's fired raping, that is just something terrible. I wish no woman ever goes through that. It's just sad on how it happens. It's not just men just taking advantage of women, which is just unacceptable. I mean, Deshaun Watson ain't the only one who's done it professionally, but a lot of others, too. You could say NFL owners, Robert Kraft, he did that, too. Other big news in the NFL, Matthew Stafford finalized a 4-year, $160 million extension with the Rams. That is huge for them. They get to have their quarterback. They traded away Robert Woods. He's no longer on the team. Odell Beckham's still a free agent. There's actually a whole lot of NFL free agents still yet to be signed. I'm looking through NFL players' rooms. Yeah, Tyrann Mathews still hasn't been signed. Teron Armstead hasn't been signed. Bobby Wagner still hasn't been signed. Stephon Gilmore hasn't signed. Jadeveon Clowney. I have a feeling the Browns will re-sign Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, they wanted to get this Watson thing done. Haslam was like, yeah, I want this guy Watson. Get it done. Now we got rooms to re-sign Clowney for a year or two, and same thing with Landry for another year or two. Hakeem Hicks still hasn't been signed. Melvin Ingram, I don't know if he'll get the sign. He's been kind of going downhill. Lando Collins, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is not going anywhere. No team wants him. He's been a mess with every team he went to. The Steelers, his short stint with the Raiders, his short stint with the Patriots, got in too much legal trouble with them. And then everyone thought he was doing well when he went to Tampa Bay to play with Tom Brady, but nope, he's still the same old crazy Antonio Brown because he was just mad with Bruce Arians and everything and then said he was injured and didn't want to play, but the coach was making him play, and he threw a temper tantrum, took off his pads, jersey, and shirt, and walked into the locker room dancing off the field like, I'm done. And I wish that guy, he needs to get some help, man. It is all messed up what he's been doing past couple years. So yeah, those are the big notable names in NFL free agency that still hasn't been signed. Also, if you want to hear any more of my opinions on this Browns Deshaun Watson. I am a frequent caller into the Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima show on 92.3 The Fan. You can sometimes hear me occasionally call in and talk to Ken and Anthony about the latest things going on in Cleveland's board. Had a lot of good conversations with him. If you've heard me, I go by a name as Enzo the Baker when I call into the show. A lot of references to that, mainly to The Godfather and other things too, if you personally know me. Going back to Deshaun Watson going to the Browns, and this ain't the first time we've seen Jimmy Haslam go after quarterback. I mean, not even the second time. It feels like he's done this a lot of time with certain players. I'll go back to 2014, the whole Johnny Manziel fiasco. Haslam really pushed for Johnny Manziel and told the Browns to go after him. They traded up for him, actually, at 27th, moved up to 22 and took Manziel. And that was a big-time disaster move. I know we were happy that we got him, but Manziel never panned out any film, never had discipline or anything. Had a lot of off-field issues that you couldn't really deal with being a quarterback in the NFL, the National Football League. And Haslam took a big risk and won it all. This time he did it again with Andrew Berry. Told Berry, hey, do what you can to get Deshaun Watson. Give him as many drafts as you can. I want this guy. This guy can play. Let's put all the chips in the middle and see what you can do. And Berry worked out an amazing deal to get Deshaun Watson. But we're just still questioning right now if he can play, if he will be playing next season. Will he be the same guy if he returns? I mean, how is he when it comes to playing cold weather? We've seen Deshaun Watson play in bad weather, even in Cleveland 2 years ago in 2020. Wasn't really that good, but you just never know. It depends on how much working and effort. We don't know which way this will go. That's just how it goes in any trade in any sport. You don't know how the player, if you get a big name player, how they act. Look at the Odell Beckham trade. I saw a lot more people were celebrating when we got Odell versus when we got Deshaun Watson, let alone Deshaun Watson in some very much different situation than Odell was. Odell was just known as being just a typical diva wide receiver. Watson, a lot of legal trouble when it comes to sexual assault and everything. In the Odell trade, we thought it was going to work. He was back with Jarvis Landry, his best friend. I mean, Baker Mayfield coming off an extraordinary good rookie year. We believed he was going to be the savior for Cleveland, and he always felt like that too, Baker. But 2019 came. That first game against the Titans just did not go well. And you just never saw the same Odell Beckham like when he was with the Giants. 2020, he was looking pretty good with the Browns, actually. It was his best stint until he got hurt against the Bengals. But the Browns still able to make the playoffs without him that year. And then 2021, without the first two games, and then came back against the Bears. Just wasn't getting any touchdowns or anything. Wasn't having good chemistry with Baker Mayfield. And then his last game was against the Steelers on Halloween. And there was belief he was causing some drama and thing. And they had said, we had enough. We're getting rid of you. And now he went to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. Total Browns move right there, for sure. But with that, enough of the whole NFL free agency madness. We got to get into March Madness next. And let me just start right here. A whole lot of upsets happened. Brackets, of course, busted as usual. Will we ever see a perfect bracket? Who knows? I appreciate anyone who participated in our March Madness bracket challenge. You know, you can. Three people have a chance to win Chipotle gift cards. Who doesn't love a nice burrito or bowl from Chipotle? You can be any kind of person on your diet. Chipotle is perfect for anyone. A huge shout out to them. Yes, now getting to the real madness, which is March Madness. And boy, the first two rounds have been something. A lot of upsets. A lot of close games, and this is what makes March Madness so great. All these games staying close, never knowing that upset's going to happen. When it does, it is some miracle. Your bracket's going to be busted no matter what. It is, like, so rare to get a perfect bracket. You're better off playing the lottery than trying to see if you can get a perfect bracket. It's never going to work. I may be winning your bracket challenge. May work. Hey, we got some runnings for our people in our bracket challenge, including our former co-host, Maddie Hayes. She's having a good bracket year. You know, she could be that winner of that one of those Chipotle gift cards, which I know she'll love. So gonna shout out Maddie. But the first round was something. Taking a look at the games, not too many. Like, there were some big surprises. Of course, the big one, of course, is 15th seed St. Peter's beating Kentucky in the first round, and then beating Murray State in the second round, and which were both pretty close battles. I mean, they were able to fight with Kentucky, who's been a big powerhouse school for a long time in the SEC. And then they were able to do it against Murray State, too, who's also been a team with experience. Because remember, a couple years ago, they had John Moran on their team for like two seasons and made the tournament. And then other teams, you can also say North Carolina. They've impressed me. I mean, they beat Marquette in the first round, literally blowing them out. And then they go on to beat the defending national championships, Baylor. First one, you're doing bracket challenge. Never picked a defending national champion to win that bracket because they have a tendency to, like, not repeat. It's so rare. The last team to do that, I believe, was 2006 to 2007 Florida Gators. And they had Joakim Noah, Al Horford, that squad. That's what I believe was the last one. Taking a look, Michigan State, they've been impressive. I mean, they played a tough-fought battle against Duke, but Duke was able to come with the win in the last 2 minutes of that game. I mean, Michigan State fought through that one. I thought they were going to win it. I had them going on that one, but fortunately they couldn't. And Duke ended up moving on to the Sweet 16, so Duke and UNC together again. Talk about another close game, Memphis. They put up a good fight against Gonzaga Saturday night. Literally, you know, they had the lead a couple times. Back and forth, Gonzaga fight through. They are on a big mission. They're on a revenge tour to get back to the national title game and win it all. Last couple times they made it, they haven't been able to win it. Last year was against Baylor. Came so close, but just wasn't able to finish. And they go up against Arkansas in the Sweet 16. Looking at another surprising school would be Michigan University, led by Juwan Howard. Remember, Juwan Howard was suspended back in February for punching the Wisconsin assistant coach. And it felt like when Michigan didn't have him, they lost their leader. They lost the man. They weren't doing well during the last couple games of the season and in the Big Ten championship and in the Big Ten tournament where they did have Howard, but it was him just coming back, and they really weren't ready for that challenge yet. But then when it comes to the tournament, you know, everything refreshes. What happened in the regular season and in your conference tournament doesn't matter anymore. It's more about what you do in the dance, and they really have proved it by first beating off Colorado State in the first round, and then having an upset against Tennessee. That one was kept up. Juwan Howard let him. They know that he's their leader. And they got to the Sweet 16, taking on Villanova. So close they could have played their rival, Ohio State. But Nova really, they've really been playing good lately. And that's just Villanova teams in general. They've always just been that dominant force the past couple years. You know, won two titles in the last six. And you know, they're just always a good team. They got a tremendous coach in Jay Wright, and he's been leading this team to success. They've been producing good talent, one of the top teams. That's why a lot of people like predicting them to go deep in the tournament and the Final Four, win the championship. I can see Nova winning it all for sure. But Michigan's gonna be a tough battle for them in the Sweet 16 coming up. I'll give you that. Coming up, another surprising upset, but didn't last too long. Richmond, they beat the Big Ten champions Iowa in the first round. Played Providence last night, but couldn't beat Providence, who's been doing pretty good in the Big East. Not gonna lie, they've been solid the past couple years, a four seed. Never seen Providence that high, but they've been a good basketball program. They couldn't outlast it, but them beating Iowa is still pretty impressive. Hey, even if it's a short Cinderella story, it is still memorable. And now we take a look at another recent loss that just happened not too long ago. Iowa State, they beat LSU in the first round, and then they went on to beat Wisconsin in the second round. A lot of people thought Wisconsin was going to go far this year. They didn't. Iowa State's went on. They faced the winner of Miami and Auburn. We'll We'll see. That's going to be a good one. Auburn, you know, was about the top team throughout the year. Let's see if they can be. Looking at other games, St. Mary's literally just dominated Indiana, but couldn't really handle the challenge against UCLA. UCLA almost lost to the University of Akron. That says something. I mean, Akron was able to fight through with this team. They've been a pretty good program in the MAC. I've seen them a lot. See them go against my Kent State Golden Flashes. They were able to beat them in the MAC tournament. Kent could have been that place against UCLA. I don't know if Kent would have handled that close. But Akron just has a little bit more edge and fire to them. And they really could have beat UCLA. They actually haven't won a game in the tournament at all, even though they made it a couple times, especially recently when they had Keith Dambard as their coach. So we'll see. I mean, the madness is still going on. You got some other good games. Purdue versus Texas. I really like Purdue. They have good shooting all around, good rebounding. It's just with Texas, I just think they're just always a choke job when it comes to any sport from the University of Texas. Football, basketball, women's basketball, you name it. It's just, they're just choke schools. They're not the same powerhouse scary Texas as they were in past years. I just don't see them. I thought Virginia Tech was a much better team than Texas, and I'm surprised they got ranked lower seed. They won the SEC championship. That's why I picked them, and no, Texas won it. And in my mind, that's an upset, but in according to the bracket, it is not. I mean, we'll see what they do. That game is on late tonight. I'll see if I'll be up staying up for that one, for sure. But looking ahead, you see, Houston's got, they might be going up against Arizona or TCU. I would take Arizona's been really down. Houston's been a pretty solid program the past couple of years. Have been having a good season out in the American Conference. And with that, folks, that is all I have for March Madness. Let me get to my Drunkie of the Week. I wouldn't say you people would be surprised at this, but I haven't really called them drunkies in a while, but let me give it to the Cleveland Browns organization. Mainly management. Not really saying Andrew Berry too much. But the owners, Jimmy and Dee Haslam. This whole Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, has just been a complete shit show. I mean, getting Watson, you know, a lot of backlash when it comes to it. He has 22 counts of sexual assault on him. And harassment. He's a good quarterback, but not the best person, and losing fans in it, mainly the female ways, in this day and era, that is just not a good look. And with them and Baker Mayfield, when they drafted Baker Mayfield, they believed he was going to be guy, he was going to be savior. He did do that. He led you guys to your victory in the first time in 2 years under the head coach of Hugh Jackson. And then Baker, you know, had a bad 2019 season. You guys went ahead and hasn't had a lot of say in the head coach. They went with Freddie because they're like, oh, he's got a good relationship with Baker. But Freddie and Baker had more like a friendship, buddy, hey, I'm going to go have a beer with you relationship. Not like when it came when they brought in Kevin Stefanski. It was a much better move for Baker. He looked like a much better player with the way Stefanski found the plays that worked well with his scheme. And they were able to go to the playoffs. Not just that, also win a playoff game against your arch rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, then went up against the defending champs, the Kansas City Chiefs, and almost beat them. You know, lost to the very end, a couple bad calls in that game. And you just thought, yeah, and they couldn't. Then going in 2021, you thought this was the year, everything's together. You made the playoffs last year, lived to the Sanders again. Baker got hurt in that second game against the Texans. Wasn't the same player after that at all. He began to go downhill. Very bad up until the end of the season in his last game and as a Cleveland Brown against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Browns pretty much just ruined this man who was destined to give us to the promised land. And just, they ruined him. That's what the Cleveland Browns have been doing my whole life, is just ruining quarterbacks, just as an organization, or just getting complete scumbag guys. Like Johnny Manziel, for a good example. Or Josh Gordon, Braylon Edwards. I know those guys are receivers, but still getting those guys that are not good for your locker room. You know, just getting guys based on talent or just based on, hey, we don't care. And just keep on going with this. They've been doing this forever. Or, you know, say Brandon Whedon. That's another bad one. Try to name others. Wouldn't say Whedon had a lot of issues. Just go back. They keep on doing the same thing. They the Browns just don't learn from the mistakes. And this Watson thing can either work out. They can be in the playoffs. They can be Super Bowl contenders. They can be in a Super Bowl. Or they could be, you know, dealing with drama and stuff. Watson being suspended for a year or maybe even longer. I mean, who knows what Goodell does? You know, when it comes to suspensions like these, Goodell seems to take them lightly for some reason. We don't know why, but when it comes to, you know, you gamble like Calvin Ridley did, you get a year's suspension. But you're gambling on NFL teams. I mean, gambling's not always a good thing to do, especially if you're doing it on teams in your organization you're part of, which is the NFL. It's a lot of good luck, but we don't know what Deshaun Watson is. We don't know what's going to come up in these next couple court cases he has. We don't know what the NFL discipline is going to be to him. A lot of question marks running on this. And just the way they've done it, PR-wise, getting Watson, or just the way they treated Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's done. He's out of here. He said that like even before they got Watson with that post. He wanted to thank Cleveland. He appreciated the fans, the love that the city gave him. I know a lot of people were giving him a lot of hate towards the end. But that's just what was happening. And I wish we could do more to help Baker out. But we just couldn't. And I think ownership and the front office looked at it like, saying, hey, I don't know if we can really do Baker much longer with all this. I mean, you know, Baker had a little bit of his drama issues too, and just his mentality, him talking smack to the trainer, like, no, I can play, not listening to them, or just going off the way he feels, but he was just hurting the team while he was hurt, which makes total sense. I mean, you're playing while you're hurt. Why do you think you can still go out there and play, even though you're looking at yourself and you look like the same player? I mean, kind of ruined for himself. He might go to another team. It looks like he'll be going to the Colts. Maybe Seattle. I could see him in Detroit. He'll reunite with the man who drafted him, John Dorsey. I mean, they're still looking for Florida. I don't think Goff's their main guy, but I could see him going there. If the Browns can make a deal, send him there. Just complete other disaster. But we don't know how, just because you're looking at the roster on paper, they look good and everything. But this was, like I said earlier, a trade where a lot of mixed emotions from Browns fans. See people saying we're going to the playoffs, Super Bowl. Or you see ones, I'm not going to root for them. I can't stand they did this. What a terrible move by that organization. And with that, this concludes this episode of Pass the Mic Sports Talk. We'll be back again next week. I hope you enjoy this episode. Remember, follow us on Instagram, Facebook at Pass the Mic Sports Talk, Twitter at Pass_the_Mic_, and also keep it locked in with our March Madness Bracket Challenge. If you're part of it, please let me know who the winners are. I need to figure that out too. If you're one of the top three brackets, if I know who you are, you'll get it. Just gotta personally DM us. And with that, we'll have our main man, Travis Kelce, take us away.